Morning, Cornerstone Church. Today we are continuing with our sermon series called The Gospel is Greater. And we're contrasting the gospel with the alternatives presented to us in our society and talking about why God's truth is bigger, better, and always. And today we're going to be talking how the gospel is greater than New Age spirituality. You may not have heard of New Age spirituality before. Raise your hand if you've heard of the term New Age spirituality. We've got a few of us. Even if you haven't heard it, you've certainly encountered some of its ideas, I'm sure, in our society. They're pretty much everywhere. Celebrities, television, movies, they all will represent some New Age beliefs at some times. And today's sermon really hits home for me. You know, as we're contrasting the gospel with these other alternatives, our goal is not to disrespect those who believe in those alternatives. You know, there's many of my family members and friends who are influenced by New Age spirituality. And so today's message really hits home. When I became a pastor, a family member found out I was going to become a pastor, and they sat me down and they said, "Jeremy, don't tell anyone that we're sinners. Don't tell anyone that we're separated from God. Jesus didn't come to forgive our sin. He came to tell us that we aren't sinners. He came to tell us that we aren't separated from God." And I thought, that sure sounds great. I was like, I don't think that really, that doesn't remind me of many of the things Jesus said. And so I said, "Why don't we open the Bible and we can read together about what Jesus said and why he came and why he didn't come?" And when I said that, when I started opening up the Bible, she had this very emotional, strong reaction and just started rambling and speaking very quickly, not letting me get a word in edgewise. And she just kept talking and talking faster and faster, louder and louder. So I wouldn't read the Bible to her. So she didn't have to hear Jesus tell her to repent and believe. And I found out she's going to a church that teaches New Age spirituality. And so I've got a lot of family and friends who are influenced by this. It hits home. The Christian church, on the other hand, has been teaching for 2,000 years the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to save sinners, that he came as our way to God. In John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." The good news is that we have a way to God. And the gospel that the church has been preaching for 2,000 years all over the world is that our way to God is through Jesus Christ. God sent his only Son out of love for us to save us so that we can have a way to him. But the competing gospel that is presented with New Age spirituality says that the road from us to God, we get to God through... Actually, we don't need a road to God because we're not separated. There's no problem. There's no issue. In fact, this may sound kind of strange to you if you haven't heard it before, but New Age spirituality and New Age teachers will say that you are God and that I am God and that we are God. And to prepare for this sermon, I listened to hours of New Age teachers speaking. I had conversations with them. And New Age spirituality prides itself on being, they call it spirituality without boundaries. So it's kind of hard to nail down some real strong teachings, but I found this teaching almost everywhere, that we are God, that you are God, and that I am God, and that we're not separated from God. And so that's the competing good news of New Age spirituality. The good news is that we don't need the gospel. And this has led many to reject Christ, because if there's no need for a way to God, what do we need Jesus for? When you say, "God loved you so much that he came in the flesh to serve and sacrifice for you," well, that doesn't impress someone who also believes they're God, because they believe that they are God in the flesh. And they believe that you are God in the flesh. So Jesus is just one of us, nothing special at all. And if we don't need a way to heaven, then what do we need Jesus for? What was his life for? I'm already connected with God. I don't need a way to God. And so it's led many to reject Jesus Christ. And so this message hits home for me because many of my family and friends have gone this way. And they'll tell me that they don't need the gospel. They don't need Jesus Christ. And so this message hits home. I don't like it when my family is turned away from Jesus. And so does New Age spirituality, does that express reality? Does the idea that we are not separated from God, but we are God, how does that work in reality? Well, let's take a look at a situation in life through the lens of New Age spirituality. I grew up in the area, and I went to Madison Elementary School down the road. And when I was about in third or fourth grade, I was walking down the hallway. And two guys jumped out in the hallway. One of them grabbed my arms. I had no idea who these guys were. One of them grabbed my arms and held me behind the back. The other one ran around in the front and bam! Kicked me right in the crotch. Out of nowhere. And it hurt. And I crumpled to the floor in pain. All right, now let's take a look at this instance through the lens of New Age spirituality. What happened? What happened is that God jumped me in the hallway. And he held my arms behind my back. And he kicked me in the crotch. Now, why would God kick me in the crotch? It makes no sense. It just doesn't add up, people. Why would God kick himself in the crotch? And if he had to give himself a good kick, why'd he choose me? He just could have picked any one of you. It just doesn't add up. New Age spirituality does not express reality. Humanity is fallen. We do things that hurt each other. We make choices that hurt ourselves. We make choices that rebel against God. God doesn't like some of these things that we do down here. If I'm God and you are God, then God sure makes a lot of mistakes. If I'm God and you are God, we've all been foolish and cruel. We've contributed to broken relationships. We've contributed to others' suffering. God is not foolish and cruel. He's not wrong and weak. New Age spirituality does not express reality. And so I asked this situation to a professional minister through the church that teaches New Age. And he said, why would God do this to me? And he says, well, what happened was those boys were corrupted by bad teaching. And he said, they haven't been taught that they're divine. And they haven't been taught that you're divine. And as soon as they reawaken to their divinity, we won't have those problems. And I said, how can God become corrupted by bad teaching? Our God is not corruptible. Jesus isn't corruptible. We spoke on January 6th in the Defeating the Darkness series about how Jesus faced Satan face to face, and he was tempted by Satan, and he did not give in. If you and I are God, then God is weak. He's prone to mistakes. He's prone to evil, and he's unable to overcome it. He's easily confused. He's easily misinformed. Well, Jesus is not. Jesus is incorruptible. And so the Christian cannot also follow New Age spirituality. The Christian cannot follow Jesus Christ and also the teachings of New Age spirituality, because a corruptible God isn't the one that the Christian follows. The Christian follows Jesus Christ, who's incorruptible. If humanity was God, God makes a lot of mistakes, and that's not a God that I'd like to worship. And it seems like there's a lot of awful things going down here. There's a lot of pain and suffering in the world, and I shouldn't have to spend much time convincing you of that. And so we have this, we know what God would like. And yet we constantly experience and do things that we know are not godly. And so we have this distance between what God would like and what we do. And that seems like a separation to me. It seems like in reality, there's a separation between us and God. It seems to me that perhaps the Bible better expresses reality. And what does the Bible say? Well, in Genesis 3:23, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. And this expresses the initial separation between God, man, and the Bible. Through our rebellion against God, he kicked us out of the Garden of Eden. Our choices led to a separation. And the Bible teaches that separation continues today. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I have both made choices which have hurt ourselves, hurt others, which we know to be wrong, which we know God would not choose. And so the separation continues today. And the separation is not trivial. These choices that we make, which hurt others and hurt ourselves and rebel against God, they're not just to be glossed over or ignored. They're serious. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And so when people are hurt, when there's violence and pain, when there's suffering that's caused by others, it's not just something to ignore. It's not just something to pretend isn't a big deal. It's serious. It's so serious that God sent his son to take care of it, his only son. God came in the flesh to take care of it. That's how serious the Bible says it is. And I like that. I like the idea when somebody hurts me that God isn't fine with it. He doesn't just turn away. He doesn't ignore it. But there's a separation there. When we choose to hurt others, when we choose to hurt ourselves and rebel against God, I like the idea that God doesn't turn a blind eye. I don't want a God who's not just. I want a God who fixes things and doesn't ignore them. But New Age spirituality denies the problem from the outset. It says we're not sinners and we're not separated from God. Shouldn't God be angry when we cause other people to suffer? I like the idea that God's angry when I cause other people to suffer. I don't want a free pass either. I don't want free license to hurt other people and have God turn a blind eye. So why would we believe that we're not sinners? Why would we want to hear that we're not sinful? Why would we want to hear that we're not separated from God? Well, I think it's because at our heart we're insecure, struggling people. And I know I am. It's hard to face up to the things that we've done that are wrong. It's hard to face reality. Let me tell you how insecure I am. I played in 8th grade and 10th grade in high school basketball. And I remember in 8th grade we went down to the city and we played Hopkins. And we were just this little country kids coming in the city to play Hopkins. And they owned us. I think we lost 89 to like 14 or something. It was unbelievable. And when I experienced something like that, I'd go home. You know what I'd do? I'd replay the game in my driveway. And guess what happened? I'd come out a winner. Instead of losing 89-17, suddenly, oh, I had scored 55 straight points. We're back in the game. And I'm hitting the three. Instead of getting rejected time after time as I go in for layups, instead I'm dunking the ball. That's how insecure I am. I wanted to go to bed a winner and not a loser. And so I'd replay the game so I could feel better about myself. And at our heart, I think we're insecure, struggling people. It's hard to face reality. It's easier to live in a fantasy than it is to face the consequences of our actions. And so it's easier for us to say, hey, I'm not separated from God. I'm not a sinner. What I've done isn't serious, and I don't need to think about it. But I know it's not true. I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short of the glory of God. And I know that sin is serious. Perhaps that's why Jesus came. And the first words he said, recorded in the Gospels, are in Matthew 4:17. He says, repent. He says, repent. Why would he say that unless there was something we needed to repent of? I know I've done something wrong. And I know I need something more than myself. And those who have fallen for New Age spirituality, they don't need our condemnation. They need our compassion. Because at their heart, they're insecure, struggling people. They're insecure, struggling people just like me. To believe the lie that you are God has got to take some incredible level of denial. A level so strong that people who have fallen for this lie need our compassion and not our condemnation. Ask my wife how insecure and defensive I am. Ask her how long it takes me to admit I'm wrong. Ask her how long it takes me to apologize. I can relate to being insecure and defensive. But the Christian is able to face reality. They're able to face their actions. And why is that? Perhaps today you're looking for that sort of strength. Perhaps today you don't like admitting that you're a sinner. I don't think anybody does. But the Christian has the strength to face it. And we have the strength to face it because we know that even while we were sinners, God loved us. Romans 5:8 or 8:5, I can't remember. It says, while we were sinners, God proved his love by sending Jesus Christ. The Christian can face reality because we know that God loves us. And we know that there's hope. We know that there's a way to God. I can much more quickly apologize to Sarah and seek her forgiveness. Because I can relate to what it's like to be forgiven. Because I know God forgives me. And the Christian has a strength to face reality. We are not God. Our choices have hurt others, hurt ourselves, and separated us from him. But that's not the end of the story. There's good news, and it is needed. And the good news is that Jesus Christ has come, and he is our way to God. And so Jesus tells me one thing. He says, repent and believe. He gives me to face reality in two ways. The reality of what I've done and the reality of what he's done. While New Age spiritualists come and tell me a different thing, my own family members come and tell me a different thing. They say, you're not a sinner, and you don't need a way to God. And so I have the option of deciding, who do I listen to? Do I listen to the person who's come and told me these things? Or do I listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ? And Jesus wins every time. Because I know I can't do this on my own. If I'm God and you're God, we're out of luck. Humanity has not made great strides in overcoming evil in the last 10,000 years. And as hard as I've worked to become a good person, as hard as I've worked to become godly, I still fall short. I know I can't do this on my own. If I'm God and you're God, we're out of luck. But thank God that he sent his son Jesus, his only son, for us. And so when we choose, when we run into these different teachings, who do we listen to? Are we influenced by those who are telling us that we're not sinners? Or are we influenced by the good news of Jesus Christ? Do we listen to others, or do we listen to God himself? The truth is, we are weak, but Jesus is strong to save. Even though the reality is that I've sinned, I've got a way to my Creator because of the strength and power of Jesus Christ. And for the hurting, broken, insecure person, the best way to handle reality is not to deny it, but to face it in the power of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. New Age spirituality denies our problem that we're sinners separated from God, while Jesus Christ solves our problem. And if we're looking for intimacy with God, which I know we are, then we find it through Jesus Christ. Let's begin reading in chapter 4, in verse 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, capital S, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." And what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us is not that we're divine. Jesus is God's only son. But through Jesus Christ, we are also receive intimacy with God. That separation is overcome, and we're brought back into God's family. See, the problem since the beginning of time, since we sinned in the garden, is that there's a separation. And God had a plan from that exact moment. And his plan was to come in the flesh and take care of the problem himself. And the Apostle Paul says, when that fullness of time had come, when it came time for God's plan, he did that. He sent his son. And his son was born of a woman. He's God's only son, but he's also human. He's born of a woman. Jesus was God in the flesh. He's born under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes will be saved. And so because we are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts. Have you received the Spirit of his son today? Have you opened up your heart to the Holy Spirit which testifies to Jesus Christ? The Spirit which is sent into our hearts, that cries out from our hearts to God. And it cries, Father. Through the Spirit of his Son, we have intimacy with God our Father. We need more of Jesus. We need less of us. If I'm God and you are God, then I'm left still looking for what I need. And that's intimacy with God. We need more of Jesus and less of us. Turn back with me back to chapter 2. We'll read in verse 19. It says, Through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. New Age spirituality seeks to exalt insecure, struggling people. Seeks to exalt the individual, telling them that they are God. While Christianity calls people to humble themselves. It calls people who are willing to say something as crazy as this. It's no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. God calls us to empty ourselves so that Christ can live in us. If we are God and you are God, it would be an absolutely shocking thing to say that I need less of myself. But if we are sinners, people who have made mistakes, people who hurt others, who have made choices to hurt themselves, then this makes perfect sense. I need less of me. I need more of Jesus Christ. The New Age spiritualist's goal is to fully realize that they're divine, while the Christian's goal is to humble themselves, to fully realize that God is divine, that Jesus Christ is God himself, come in the flesh to save us. And I don't know about you, but I'm desperate. I've lost hope in humanity to solve all of our problems. I know as hard as I've tried to be godly, I still fail. I know that I need something greater than myself. And so what is the good news of New Age spirituality? It says, is there a problem? No, not really. But I think there's a problem. I've experienced the pain of broken relationships. I've experienced the suffering that sin causes. And is there a problem? Yes. Have you seen this place? We need help. The good news New Age spirituality says, well, we don't really need to reach God. We have all the help we need here. Well, the Christian looks at the world and says, we need help. And we reach God through Jesus Christ. God himself, who loved us so much that he came to serve and sacrifice for us. What's the end result of New Age spirituality? Well, it's separation. By denying reality, the New Age spiritualist has not made any move. But the end result for the Christian is that we've moved from where we're at, from the pain and evil of this world. We've moved, we've crossed over. And we have intimacy with God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is a religion for humble people. Proud people will not join. Are you humble? Are you humble enough to say, God, I need more of you and less of me? Are you humble enough to give yourself up and say, it's no longer I that live. Christ, live in me. Heavenly Father, send the Spirit of your Son into my heart. I need intimacy with you. If you've never put all of your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do that today. When the New Age spiritualist or the atheist or the agnostic, whoever, when they've tried their best and failed, what do they have left? But themselves, more of the same. But the Christian looks to Christ, looks to the incorruptible, perfect example of Jesus Christ, looks to the power that brought Jesus back from the dead and has hope in Jesus Christ. When the Christian stumbles and falls, we can still look and hope to God. And that spirit that's within us cries out, Father, and cries out for intimacy with God. The New Age spirituality leaves us separated from God, while the gospel brings us intimacy with God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, God, it's just, this world is so hard sometimes, and there's people telling us all sorts of different things. There's all these different spirits trying to grab our attention. God, we are prideful people. We're insecure and defensive. I don't like admitting I'm wrong. None of us do. But God, when we look at reality, we can't deny it. I've made mistakes. I know I have. And I know that as hard as I've tried to be godly, I still come up short. And so I know I need something more than myself. Lord, I pray that we'd listen to your Son, Jesus. When we're looking for intimacy with God, we pray that we'd follow the advice of Jesus, who gets us to look at reality, to no longer deny it, and say, I've made some serious mistakes. Heavenly Father, I repent of those. I don't like those. I don't like the ways that I've hurt others. I don't like the way that others have hurt me. I don't like the way that we've rebelled against you, causing suffering. Jesus, I've sinned. Forgive me through the power of your Son. God, we're looking for intimacy with you. Lord, we need more of you and less of us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you send the Spirit of your Son into our hearts as we open up our hearts to you. Lord, help us to feel that you are near. Give us assurance that you are near. Lord, I pray that as we open our hearts up to your Son, Jesus, that you would give us assurance of his divinity, of what he did for us. Lord, we pray all of these things in your name. And we pray that you'd bless the gifts that we're about to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, if our ushers could come forward and collect our offering, and we're going to celebrate through the worship of giving. If you're new here, we ask that you not put anything into the basket except for your connection card if you've filled it out. And if you need to give that to an usher later, we can take that as well. As the basket's passed, please stand and join us in worship.